welcome to Gender Forking, a Twilight Saga podcast. Today we have read chapters 24 and 25 of Eclipse. We are just so close to the end. And we have totally arrived at the plot.
Yeah.
Welcome to the big plot of the book.
People literally die in this section, and I still think it was so much less traumatizing than our last one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be a breeze. It's going to be a walk in the park compared to what we've been through.
Yeah.
There's so little left. There's these two chapters, and then there's, I think, two more chapters and an epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, like, flipping through to the end to see how many pages were left, and then I was reminded that the epilogue is from Jacob's perspective.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Jump scare.
Yeah.
Just a little look into the future mm-hmm. of what we have to look forward to in Breaking Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I've prepared you. I didn't prepare this. I've prepared an offering for
you didn't
drink swap.
Yeah, that's clearly from Roma Joe's.
Is it?
No, actually, it doesn't say Roma Joe's on it.
Interesting.
But where would... Okay, whatever.
Yeah, where would I go?
It tastes like strawberry.
It's not strawberry. It's two flavors plus a base.
Watermelon?
No.
Raspberry?
Raspberries.
Raspberry?
Yeah.
Is it a citrus?
No.
Okay, running out of fruits.
Yeah. It's a stone fruit, I think, technically.
Technically cherry?
No.
Technically?
I feel like it's...
It's got a seed in the middle?
Yeah, it does, definitely.
But it's not an obvious
stone
fruit.
I wouldn't think of it as a stone fruit until I thought about it.
Oh.
Classifying it.
Mango?
Yeah.
Nice.
And Red Bull.
Did you make it at home?
No, it's from Mr. Bagel.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Is this my drink?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go for it. Okay. I left it over there for you. Yeah, I wonder what it could be.
It smells like holiday spice tea, maybe with a hint of pear, cinnamon.
I shouldn't have read the label out loud earlier. I didn't think this far ahead.
It is good, though.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I don't know if there's any Twilight news. We did just have Spotify Wrapped Day, though.
Oh, yeah.
Best day of the year.
Yeah. Very fun.
Thanks to everyone who sent us screenshots of Gender Forking on their top playlists. That's always super fun.
Yeah. Special shout out to Joe.
Yeah.
For listening to the show.
That
almost
is so
four
real.
Times through
no,
this year.
Almost five times.
Almost five times through this year. That is really something.
Yeah.
If there was a prize to be won, you would win it.
Yeah, certainly.
If there was a competition, you'd blow everyone out of the water.
Yeah. I think our Spotify Wrapped said that we had it tells you how many people you're in the top four and how many people you're number one for. And I think there's 85 people
that's
who
wild.
Listen to Gender Forking on Spotify more than any other podcast. So that's really fun. If you're one of those, that's a special little club that you're in.
Congratulations.
And I mean, it's not like we have a ton of listeners. There's not everybody who listens is listening consistently or all the way through. But
or
we
on
have,
Spotify.
Yeah, or on Spotify for sure. But I know from our host site that we have maybe 1,000 listeners. That's it's like a high school.
Yeah, it's we have our own high school, which is kind of how we structure the Patreon anyway.
Yeah, totally. So the 85 of you, you're the National Honor Society.
Yeah, you're the NHS. You're the student government.
Yeah, the student government.
You are...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
You're
know.
You're the
what
teachers
we would call
and
that.
Administrators.
Yeah. Honor roll.
Congratulations.
Something.
Yeah. You're the marching band.
Yeah.
You are the choir.
Yeah.
You're the moment. And Joe would be our valedictorian.
Yeah, Joe's our congrats. Almost time for Gender Forking senior year.
Gender Forking senior year.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna graduate, go to college and read actual literature.
Yeah. We're all gonna take a nap.
Yeah.
And we're never gonna think about this again.
Right. We're going to trade school, actually.
Yeah. I'm switching career paths.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think we need to read Bree Tanner.
Yes.
In between.
We did meet Bree in this section that we read today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that will be a nice little addendum to season 5.
We fucking met her and then said goodbye.
Yeah, we met her and said goodbye in a very short span of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will be a nice little interlude before actually cracking open Breaking Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can start with a summary.
Yeah, let's
So
do
we
it.
Read 24 Snap Decision and 25 Mirror. No jump in time from the end of the last chapter to this one. So Jacob is just left to go to the battle, and Bella collapses back into the tent. So we have a scene there right before the battle with Bella and Edward, where they talk about what happened briefly, and then the battle does begin. We get a little play-by-play of that, and then, ooh, surprise, Victoria shows up on the mountain with Riley. There is a battle between Edward, Seth, Riley, and Victoria, and Bella. Bella's there also, doing her thing. And then they come out the other side of the battle, you know, victorious, I guess. We'll talk about it. And then the Volturi come and pay a visit. We briefly meet Bree Tanner, one of the newborn vampires in Victoria's army, who we'll spend some more time with at the end of the season. So just plot-wise, that's what happens. Everybody, like, survives. and Jacob does get injured, but that's the extent of it. So, yeah, let's...
We can dive into chapter 24.
Snap decision.
Bella is devastated.
Yeah, reasonably so.
She's mad at herself.
Of course.
Which is normal, but
this is
a bummer.
Just, like, a new low for her, I would say. I did not remember this.
No.
At all.
I didn't remember this because I feel like in the movie it's so quick, like, the transition. And it is here, too, to be fair, but, like, the transition from her being assaulted by Jacob to immediately there's a threat
Victoria,
against her life. But here there is a couple of minutes where she and Edward have a conversation about it.
In the book, it's done differently in the movie. In the book, like, she goes back into the sleeping, into her sleeping bag in the tent and, like, is just sort of waiting for Edward to come back, which he does. So Bella has wanted to die before.
Yeah.
Maybe many times, I would say.
Right, I would argue that, yeah.
I would say that she has not suicidal tendencies, but definitely...
Like ideation.
Ideation.
Frequently. Yeah. One could argue that even wanting to be a vampire...
Yeah.
...is suicidal ideation.
Oh.
Because it is like...
Yeah.
It is, for her, a form of, like, escape from the problems of her life, which are overwhelming to her.
Ooh, piping hot take.
Piping hot take.
Ooh. We're gonna think about that one.
Anyway,
Edward comes back, and he's, like, starting to comfort her and asks if she's all right, and she says, no, I want to die. She's not dramatizing. I think
she genuinely wants to die.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like you could read this and be like, oh, she's just being dramatic.
But yeah.
She's totally, she's not, especially, like, what is happening next.
Well, because I think she feels like she cheated on Edward.
Yeah, she does. She feels like it's her fault for what happened.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Edward does not blame her at all.
Right.
For what happened.
Crucial that the first person you talk to about something like this is like... going to, like, not reinforce that or, like, challenge it.
Or make you feel bad.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, anything like that. So Edward's back. Seth is back. So we know Jacob has phased by now, and that means that everybody in the pack knows mm-hmm. what happened, including Seth, who is there, and Edward can read Jacob's thoughts through Seth's thoughts. Bella calls Seth, knowing what's going on, as an intimate witness to my disgrace. Like
she has stumbled, it's her transgression, or something.
Yeah.
Edward is listening, and she says, he listened to something, I'd rather die than have him here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that made me really sad.
That's very sad. And it's like, unfortunately, like, I do think it's a good thing that Edward gets this information from Seth, because if he got it from Bella, she would communicate it. Like, because she truly believes it's her fault, she would probably, like, not be able to convey accurately what happened.
What actually happened.
And Edward learning this through Seth means that he knows Jacob was lying.
Yeah, he knows,
like,
how
his
Jacob
threat
was
not genuine.
It. Yeah. Edward's reaction to this is, like, I would say played down, and it's coming from Stephanie Meyer, right?
Yeah.
Like
Stephanie doesn't view this as an assault.
Right. So
Edward's not going
so
to.
So Edward doesn't. And Edward doesn't think it's fair, but Edward refers to it as fighting dirty.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, being a little trickster around the mm-hmm. rules, as if, like, the rule of, well, we made this clause where, like, if you asked him, it would be okay, and therefore it's fine. So, like, nobody here is understanding how consent functions.
Right. Which they were never going to, because no. I don't think Stephanie Meyer has
right.
an idea.
Right. Yeah, he just says, Jacob's more cunning than I give him credit for. I just feel like there's this mentality here that's, like, all is fair in love and war.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
Right.
You can't just do whatever you want in the name of something you feel passionately about.
Yeah.
So Jot that down.
And he says, like, he would have kissed you anyway, even if you hadn't fallen for it, which mm-hmm. I think is really nefarious.
Yes.
Like, that knowledge, I think, is part of the creepiest part of this, is that, like, I mean, I think it just demonstrates for people that have any doubt of what's going on here.
Right.
Like, if people are like, oh, well, she technically asked, and then if that's the way that they're excusing that this is okay,
mm-hmm.
he would have done it anyway.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. He's done it before.
Devastating. Yeah. People who do violence often will choose sort of the path of least resistance
mm-hmm.
and will use, like, manipulative and coercive tactics before escalating to physical force.
Yeah, but when those tactics get challenged,
yeah.
or, like, if there are measures in place to try to prevent someone from using those tactics or prevent those tactics from being effective, they often do escalate.
Right. That's really interesting for us to be able to know, too. I think it's yeah. interesting that she put that in there. I don't know
who edited this book. Like, no offense.
Like hypothetically, multiple people, right?
Like, multiple people read this. And, like, I obviously, like, Stephanie Meyer's not the only person in the world that thinks the way that she does.
Right.
But it's wild that, like...
Yeah, let's give credit where credit's yeah. due. Let's look up who edited this.
Yeah. The beginning of the book. Okay, well, these two people are credited here. It is also wonderful to have my manuscripts in the right hands. Thanks to Rebecca Davis for being so in tune with the story in my head and helping me find the best ways to express it. Thanks to Megan Tingley, first, for your unwavering faith in my work, and second, for polishing that work until it shines. And everyone at Little Brown and Company Books for Young Readers has taken such amazing care of my creations.
Rebecca and who?
Megan.
Rebecca and Megan, what's up?
Rebecca and Megan.
I just want to talk.
Did you, like...
We gotta get past Stephanie at this point.
Yeah. It's just like, at any point did anyone read this and go, wow, this is really dark material for, like, YA?
Well, I feel like they might have been, well, like, everyone loved, like, dark, edgy material for YA, but there's, like, there's that, and then there's, like...
Violence.
I guess, like, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, like, the kind of cultural conversation around the effect of media on mm-hmm. the general public is, like, it's a little bit... newer in terms of, like, it being in the mainstream, I yeah. suppose. But it's not like that conversation didn't exist at the time. So, according to Wikipedia, she had the rough draft of Eclipse before Twilight was released in October in 2005.
Wow.
And that the final manuscript didn't differ much from the rough draft.
Much to think about, honestly. Yeah. It's fascinating, because it's, you know, Bella doesn't have all the information yet. About what just happened to her.
No, and she's in a really bad place.
Yeah, and she's now told that it was kind of all for nothing. I mean, it would have happened anyway, but, like, her participation in it was hinged on a lie.
Yeah, and she believes that Edward is telling the truth about this. What she narrates is that she doesn't feel any anger at Jacob for tricking her. Mm-hmm. She says, there wasn't enough room in my body to contain anything besides the hatred I felt towards myself.
Right. Ouch.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, the same feeling that, you know, Jacob was using
yeah.
to get this to happen in the first
Here's
place.
Here's the thing. No, there's nothing.
Okay.
I was going to say Seth was standing right there, but he wouldn't be able to hear Jacob's thoughts until afterward.
He wasn't standing there.
Oh,
and I
okay.
double checked that because I was like, wait, Seth knows what's going on. And it's because when Edward gave them privacy,
yeah.
they both left and then they
right.
both came
That's
back
right.
and then Jacob phased and then he had the information.
Come yeah. get your boy.
I know.
Like,
I really wonder what the pack thinks about all this.
Right. It's like, I mean, does anybody there... I mean, like, Sam is the only one that really ever seems to question Jacob's,
yeah.
like, decisions genuinely, like, and genuinely be like, you need to fucking move on.
Yeah.
Like, some of his friends, like, will, like, joke with him about it or whatever.
Yeah, it does say, again, Edward's saying that Jacob makes vivid mental pictures. I almost feel as bad for his pack as I do for myself. Poor Seth was getting nauseated. But Sam is making Jacob focus now. So yeah, Sam is the one who's being like, cut the shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so pissed. I bet Leah would be pissed too.
On the day of a battle.
I know, it's
I
like,
mean, they're
literally
all
get your head in the game.
Going out on a limb to protect everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and like, to be like, I'm gonna fuck around and do this thing.
Yeah.
That's like, horrible in so many ways, but also incredibly distracting.
Yeah.
For everyone here.
Yes.
Like, please have some perspective.
Yeah. Edward's not mad at Bella at all, mm-mm. in the slightest, and she's upset that he's not upset,
yeah.
and, like, actively wants him to be angry at her.
Like, she says, I want you to call me every bad name you can think of in every language you know. I want you to tell me that you're disgusted with me and that you're going to leave so that I can beg and grovel on my knees for you to stay. And he does not humor her.
No.
He's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. There's something there about why she's craving that. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't want to be comforted, or, like, that's what she thinks. Like, she doesn't want to be comforted. She wants to be told that she is a bad person, mm-hmm. and she wants to be, like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, get too into it.
Well, it just kind of feels like she knows that she'll never do that to Jacob, who's actually responsible, and so, like, there is no follow-up to this.
No.
Like, as far as I know. Like, maybe they talk about it again later, but, like,
yeah,
nothing's gonna happen after this. Like, she's just been... Something has happened to her. She probably feels like something needs to happen.
Yeah.
To make it right.
Well, she feels like it's all her fault, so yeah. she needs to be punished, essentially.
Right.
Yeah, Edward won't humor her at all, and he's even saying, like, it's okay that you love him.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I reject that, but
like. Yeah, I don't agree that yeah. she does in the first place, but he's okay with that being part of this, and mm-hmm. like says, and even like has the perspective of like the context in which their relationship happened, and says, you know, I left you and I left you bleeding and Jacob stitched you back up.
And I'm not going to make you choose between us.
Yeah. He says, just be happy. You can have whatever part of me you want, or none at all, if that's better. Don't let any debt you feel you owe me influence your decision. He said polyamory's fine, actually.
He did say that.
He did say that. Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I think with Edward, it's like he loves Bella so much, and in a way where he wouldn't consider anything that he would really want or need in a relationship in order to, like, be with her. He would just kind of, like, I think he's throughout the whole saga, he's just sort of been like, I will be with Bella in whatever way I can. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's really used to the idea of, like, not having that relationship be in its, like, fullest capacity.
Yeah.
For a lot of different reasons, and some by his decision and some not. But yeah, so that's not like an entirely new idea for him. But the fact that he's like thinking that about specifically Jacob is like pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not an idea that he will let go of.
No.
I'm sure as we move forward. He literally says, there are holes in your life I can't fill. Like, why do you gotta say it like that? It's nasty. Tell me more about those holes.
He will. When Bella realizes that Edward is not going to yell at her, be upset at her, be mad at her, she still feels like she deserves to be punished. And then yeah. it makes her do the absolutely wildest thing.
Yeah. And I didn't remember this.
No.
So she, let me just read
yeah.
what she says. She crawls into his lap and throws her arms around him and says, I don't care that it's cold in here. I don't care that I stink like a dog right now. Make me forget how awful I am. Make me forget him. Make me forget my own name. Fight back. So she's trying to have sex with him in this moment.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she says, like, make me forget him. She wants to kind of, like, get that experience maybe off of her physically, mm-hmm. and, like, get back to the thing that she actually wants.
Right. Well, it's really unfortunate that, like, the sexual experiences that she wants to have, she can't.
Yes.
And the ones that she does not want to have keep happening
to her. So true.
So it makes a lot of sense that she would try to replace that with yeah. what she actually has wanted and does want.
Yes.
But the framing of it
yes.
is so wild.
It seems like it's an extension of her desire to be punished.
For Edward, the implication of them having sex is that she could be harmed, and for her,
yeah.
she wants to be harmed,
yeah.
like, right now. Like, she wants to
care.
Die.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't care what happens to her.
Right. This is a great example that I could use. I feel like I could use this in school.
Literally.
Feel like I could use this as an example. I usually talk with high schoolers about, like, what are some situations where somebody wouldn't be able to consent, and we talk about, like, different reasons why somebody might not be in the right frame of mind, and sometimes, like, it's a mental health reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody's, like, in this situation.
Yeah, like, if they're actively seeking sex as a form of harm.
Mm-hmm.
And what really gets me is the framing of, like, it's like she's still thinking about Edward and Jacob as fighting over her.
Yeah.
Like, fight back, as if, like, they've been fighting over her, which has not been the case. Like,
like, use my body to fight against Jacob.
Yeah, like, this hasn't been the case for a long time. Like, yeah, Edward had changed. Yeah. Edward had pivotal moments in this book where he changed, and it was no longer Edward versus Jacob, even though that's what it's always, like, portrayed as the oversimplification. But, like, it hasn't been that. Like, Edward has not been engaging in that game.
No.
Even though Jacob has been. What's really happening is Jacob versus Bella, because it's Bella's wishes and boundaries that he's disrespecting, and like Edward supporting Bella in that, but not feeding into this like fight him dynamic.
So she's kissing him and he says, "You don't have to prove anything to me." Thank God.
Right.
Thank God he would not ever have sex with her in this moment or before they get married. For this particular reason, I guess it helps in this context.
Totally.
He's like, this is not, he knows, like, this is not the time for so many reasons, which he does list to her. He says, it is too cold. Like, it's fucking freezing out there. Also, he says, we will try, but I'd much rather it wasn't in reaction to Jacob Black. So true.
You know what's so interesting is the use of the language, like, we will try.
Like, to have a baby. That's
how people talk about having a baby. Yeah,
we will,
like,
try.
In like, normal-ish, I guess, normal relationships compared to, like, this vampire one. Yeah, like, sure. In normal relationships, most people are, like, not going to be, like, we will try to have sex, but, like, we will try to have a baby. And that's what happens.
They're synonymous.
That's what happens.
It's synonymous.
It's the same.
Yeah.
If you have sex, you will get pregnant and
die. You will die. Mean Girls was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also was like, hey, this battle is about to happen in, like, 1 second. So you probably want to listen to that. And she's not even thinking about it anymore.
It's totally distracted her from the battle. Yeah. Because it's been...
She doesn't care anymore. She would have... If he had let her, like, they would be having sex when Victoria gets there.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been so wild.
No. Oh, no. Also... Last but certainly not least, and not mentioned by either of them, but Seth is right outside.
Seth can hear listening to this.
He can hear everything, and therefore every single member of the pack can hear their conversation right now.
Including Jacob,
right? I would like to say. Yeah, there's no way that the pack, including Jacob, doesn't hear that Bella is trying to have sex right now. Like, there's just no way.
Which honestly is, like, probably really good for Jacob to hear, again, this is not... something that's going to change Bella's mind on anything.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Just batch it.
Anyway.
Anyway, the battle is starting. Now Bella starts to feel stressed about it. The kind of logistics of this is that Edward is listening to Seth, who's listening to the rest of the pack. So he really knows more about what's going on with the pack than the Cullens, I guess. And they've split up. So, like, the newborns divide into two groups and, like, the Cullens take one group and the pack takes the other. He's giving the play-by-play to Bella. And I would just like to add, as he's giving this play-by-play, I'm certain that they can all hear Edward's narration of what is going on.
Yeah.
So, like, it's being, they're getting the live, in real-time narration of their own actions as they are fighting, which is so funny. Yeah.
And he's talking as if he's talking to the people there, because he kind of knows that. He's very especially immersed. The wolves. Like, he's like, nice move, Leah. No, let Sam lead. Stay out of the way. Separate them. Don't let them protect each other's backs. Like, he's giving advice here.
Yeah.
Like, acting kind of as, like, a vampire advisor to them fighting. Because it's not like Jasper or any of the other vampires can, like, be there or stop, like, fighting to direct them. So it is kind of useful. Like, I do think it's more useful than having Seth and Edward in the fight.
True. Yeah. They are kind of, like, in surveillance. They're, like, in the van with the headsets on. Exactly. Looking at the security cameras.
Yeah. Like, you're the computer hacker.
Yeah, he's got, like, the blueprints.
Emmett's having a good time.
Yeah, so happy for Emmett. Everything's going well. Like, they were right about the way that the newborns were going to be moving into the space and when, etc. But then something changes. It all happens very quickly. Bella's not sure what's going on, but all of a sudden Edward does the thing that I was hoping that he would do this morning, which is tear the tent down around them
in ragged shreds.
Yeah. And tells Seth to go away. Seth runs away.
Edward has gotten into, like, a defensive position, basically holding, like, a posture in front of Bella to protect her, like, crouching.
She's worried at first that something has gone wrong in the clearing and that somebody has been hurt, but then she realizes when he takes that stance that
they are in danger.
Yes. the problem has come to them, whatever it may be.
She just says, who? And he says, Victoria.
So she was right all along. Mm-hmm. Bella was right this whole time.
And he says it. Yeah. You were right. It was always Victoria.
Yeah. He says that she's not alone, so she came with somebody. She came with Riley, who we'll meet in a second. She crossed my scent following the newborns in to watch. She never meant to fight with them. She made a spur of the moment decision to find me, guessing that you would be wherever I was. And duh. She was right. Yeah. Like, duh. Hello?
This is what gets me is they had this conversation in, yes, Twilight.
Yeah.
They are, like, James and Victoria are going to think you are wherever Bella is.
So they split
so
up.
So you split up. And, like, why they lost that ancient knowledge now?
Yeah.
Probably 8 months later. A year, probably.
Yeah,
we forgot.
Literally.
We forgot. Like, yeah. The whole thing. Puzzling.
Yeah. And also, like, they had this whole conversation about Jacob carrying Bella through the woods to mask her scent, only for Edward to meet her at the fucking top, taking his own path that smells like him.
Yeah.
And they didn't cover that track. That didn't make sense either. Like, obviously, like, somebody could have followed Edward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter who they thought was coming for them,
well, if they
could have followed him.
If they realize Edward's not there.
Yeah, like, he's got to be somewhere.
He's somewhere, and of course he's, like, with Bella. Hello. But, like, even if they get there, like, even if Bella's out of state and Edward's just, like, some other third location, like, why, yeah, wouldn't Edward be there? You know what I mean? Like, that, right, is going to be a clue when whoever gets there and shows up and starts counting the Cullens and they're like, where's Edward?
Well, yeah, it only makes sense if, like, it's a random threat of, like, yeah, people they don't know, which they didn't really think that was going to
really
be the case.
They didn't really entertain that. And, like, yeah, they knew, yeah, yeah. They and knew they were after Bella because they'd been in Bella's house, so.
Right.
They have to have some knowledge of the Cullens.
And they talked a little bit about the Victoria theory, but they didn't necessarily, like, be like, okay, well, if it is Victoria, what should we consider?
Yeah.
And how would that change our plans?
Right.
They didn't think about that.
No, not at all.
And also, this is just another reason why it was totally unnecessary for Jacob to carry Bella up the mountain.
Exactly.
But I rest my case.
But Bella is actually not that upset that it's Victoria. Like, yeah, she is relieved because she knows that Edward can survive.
Yeah.
She thinks that she is definitely going to die.
Yes, she intends on it, like, it being her if one, yeah, of them is going to die. She thinks that, you know, if it was the Volturi that was coming after them in this moment, then they would both be dead, but that she has a chance with Victoria. And also she knows that, like, for certain that she is Victoria's target.
Yes. But she also thinks that Edward sent Seth away forever, I guess. Like, she thinks that Seth is safe.
Yeah.
From,
yeah,
this, and that Seth was just going to, like, sit this one out.
Right.
Like,
she forgets about him for a bit.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, good. Like, he's safe. And it's like, you think Seth is just gonna just
run
sit
away
out
from
both
that?
Battles?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
And then Riley's there.
Yeah, yeah. So Victoria and Riley come in. They don't talk about it at all here. I mean, like, obviously, Riley's mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah.
And, but, like, nobody puts it really together. Oh, this is the guy that was reported missing,
right,
months ago.
Edward just starts referring to him by name, but
yes,
Bella does not, like,
she hasn't been,
she
able
doesn't
to put it
even have a moment where she's like, oh, that's Riley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though she did think about him a lot earlier, mm-hmm, on, she also doesn't, like, recognize him from the photos that she saw, mm-hmm, of him before, so that's interesting. But yeah, Victoria's there. Bella's absolutely fucking terrified of her and has been having nightmares of her, mm-hmm, but honestly, like, the sexual tension between
so
Victoria
hot
and Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, yeah, like, why is this so much hotter than, like, what Stephanie has been trying to achieve between,
yeah,
Edward and Bella? Like, literally, like, she could not keep her eyes from, uh-huh, my face any more than I could keep mine from hers.
Tension
rolled off of her, nearly visible in the air. I could feel the desire, the all-consuming passion that held her in its grip, almost as if I could hear her thoughts, too. I knew what she was thinking. She was so close to what she wanted. The focus of her whole existence for more than a year now is just so close.
Congratulations, Stephanie Meyer, on writing an erotica novel that,
yeah,
you did not even know.
Literally.
Like, oh my god. It is interesting because Edward takes a much more, like, intellectual approach to this fight,
yes,
than a physical one.
Yes.
Which I think is perhaps intentional, because if he just barreled right into a conflict, like, that would not...
It wouldn't be very interesting for us to read.
It wouldn't be very interesting, but it also wouldn't be very effective.
No.
Because currently he is outnumbered.
Yes.
He's biding time for, like, Seth to get back, basically.
Yeah.
And he keeps this up throughout the entire sequence. Like, mm-hmm, he starts by trying to put into Riley's mind the question of, like, does Victoria actually care about me or am I a pawn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so his mind-reading abilities come into play here in more ways than one, right? Because he's, using it to kind of goad Riley. I think at first he's like maybe trying to get Riley to not fight at all. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, I'm giving you a chance to just walk away right now, knowing that you will die and that like it wouldn't be for anything.
He is like, she's never loved you. She loved somebody named James, like trying to confuse him and like be like, she knows that you're gonna die.
Yes, like, and that's what she wants.
Save yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's her intention.
Which I think is really smart.
For sure. So, like, what Victoria wants here is for Edward and Riley to fight so that Victoria can go straight to Bella mm-hmm. and kill her. And Edward's trying to, like, not even give her an in.
Yeah, and she tries to reassure him. And Bella notes that her, like, as she's saying, he's the liar. You know I love only you. Mm. Like, Bella says that her voice was not what she expected. It was like soft and babyish.
Has she not heard her speak before?
I don't think so.
Maybe there was... Did she not say anything in the clearing? In the vampire... In the baseball scene in Twilight?
I feel like maybe she didn't because Laurent was like presented as the leader to hold back that like James yeah. and Victoria were actually the threats.
Huh.
And she says that it was the kind of voice that went with blonde curls and pink bubblegum. Stephanie Meyer's anti-blonde bias.
Yes!
Again.
Stephanie Meyer hates blondes, redhead edition. Like,
yeah.
I can't, can you even believe? Like, she's not blonde, but she's made a way to bring blonde people into her misogynistic.
She's like, damn, I should have made this one blonde.
Characterization of this person, yeah.
And she, to be fair, she made Riley blonde. Yes. And talks about him as blonde so much.
Refers
to him as the young blonde.
The blonde vampire, yeah. It's very much a Jasper Maria situation between Riley and Victoria.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how it's set up.
Just like grooming.
Yes.
A young vampire.
Straight up. It becomes apparent that the talking through it is not going to work
mm-hmm.
and that they're about to attack. And then right at that moment, Seth leaping out of the woods to attack Riley.
Yeah.
So now they're evenly matched, which is great. And Victoria is very surprised by this. She was not expecting it.
Really good, like, coordination by Seth and Edward here, which, like, I didn't really appreciate until they were reflecting on it afterward. But
yeah.
They're, like, able to communicate Dream through team. This, kind of. Like,
yeah.
Seth is able to think things that Edward can respond to and act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes really well.
So Seth starts literally tearing Riley limb from limb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, takes his hand off, starts, like, eventually, by the end of it, like, takes both of his arms off.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of descriptions of, like, how that's happening, and it's
pretty
very
gnarly.
It's crunchy.
It's crunchy. Yeah.
It's the way that it sounds to take a part of vampire. We are learning.
Yeah. And, like, Seth kind of starts limping, which is interesting. Meanwhile, like, Victoria and Edward are what Bella describes as dancing and compares it kind of to, like, Jasper and Alice,
yeah,
who are the other two that she's seen fight in that way.
Yeah.
But they're moving so fast that Bella can't really tell what's
And they're not even happening. Fighting yet.
Yeah, they're just, like, circling each other.
Yeah, but not, but, like, Edward is still, like, standing in front of her and won't let Victoria have an
right.
in to get to her. There's, like, this moment, too, where Victoria's thinking about running away. Edward doesn't want that. Like, he wants to finish it now.
And he taunts her because he doesn't want her to... He doesn't want this to be something that happens again in
right.
6 months.
That would be so annoying.
That would be so annoying.
For everybody and for me.
Every single book just being about Victoria being a threat. No, but that is her specialty.
Yes.
Like, her running survival away, instinct
hiding.
Is... And, like, hiding is her specialty. So he's saying to her, he's taunting her by saying, like, you'll never get another chance like this. You can always run later.
And he's also saying to her, goading her in the same way that he did with Riley, saying that James didn't actually care about you
yeah,
in the way that you
think.
Yeah,
he just thought you were useful.
Yeah. He didn't love anything more than he loved his hunt, which
yeah.
I believe.
I believe it too, yeah. But he's taunting her in order to keep her there so that they don't have to, like, keep living in this reality. He wants to be able to finish her off.
Totally.
And he's also, I think, buying some time for Seth to destroy Riley effectively enough that they can take on Victoria together.
Yeah, yeah. And Victoria is even, like, there's even a moment where Victoria is quite perplexed by Seth being there. There's a part where Seth gets really close to Edward and, like, his tail, like, touches him. And
mm-hmm.
she must think in her mind, like, oh, maybe the wolf will turn on
mm-hmm.
him. And Edward's like, no. That's not going to happen. We've allied together because of you.
And you've got the loyalist, like, you've got the most loyal member of
yeah,
the pack with you.
True.
Like, Seth loves
the
Cullens.
They are especially bonding hard right now.
Yeah.
It's also interesting what he says to her here. Like, she's not saying anything. We're just getting what she's thinking implied through what Edward is saying out loud to her. He says, look more closely, Victoria. Is he really so much like the monster James tracked across Siberia? She says, not the same impossible. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused if this is meant to imply that they are the exact same or not. It could be her being like, not the same. That's impossible that they're the same. Or it could be like her being like,
I think
not the same because they are different.
I think they're saying that it's different.
Yeah.
Which implies that there's different types of werewolves, wolf-like shapeshifters. Yeah. I mean, like
hybrid.
I think technically, and I think maybe this is like part of Breaking Dawn. I think that the wolves are like technically not werewolves, right? Because they're not phasing with the moon or anything. Right. They're just shapeshifting, yeah. And it's like a different kind of magic, which is like, you know, problematic too, because it's like extremely tied to them being Quileute, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I think she's saying it's different. Curious to hear a little bit more about that.
Bella continues to describe it as the dance, and which I like. I think it's a really cool callback to the ballet studio. Mm-hmm. She even describes what they're doing as a violent ballet.
Mm-hmm. Lion versus lioness.
Yeah.
And Bella's just a lamb. Riley cares about Victoria.
Very much, like, yeah.
He's distracted by caring about Victoria in this fight. Yeah. Which we know is a problem for other vampires, because later we hear that, like, Jasper gets distracted by caring about what's going on with Alice.
Yeah.
Whereas it's kind of a weakness for the newborns to be so not bonded to each other.
Yeah.
To care so little about anything but themselves.
But they fight each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the exact opposite of that is like the Cullens' weakness. Is that they
is love.
Care too much about each other and can't focus on being like the most effective.
Not that it leads to anything.
No, it's like there are literally no consequences. Yeah. Like Jasper gets bit a little bit.
Seth is kind of like taking some damage here, gets thrown against like the kind of rock face that Bella is backed up against, which causes some shards of rock to like kind of fall down around her, and she catches one in her hand.
Sharp rock time.
She did mention, we didn't say, but she did mention the third wife earlier,
yeah,
a few pages ago.
She did. This is where she can't really figure out between Edward and Victoria.
Yeah, like, she can't see what's going happening.
On. Like,
yeah.
She knows that, like, somebody's slipping out of formation here and there, but she can't see how, because of how quickly it's happening, to, like, be able to know if Edward is getting hurt or if Victoria is getting hurt or, like, what's happening, who's stumbling. So she's nervous.
So she's feeling this way. She has this rock.
She thinks Seth is literally about to lose his fight.
She is intending to cut herself, like, in the crease of her elbow, like, on the same arm where her scar is from New Moon. But it doesn't actually say when she does it or that she does it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that? I, like, had to go back and be like, wait, did she cut herself?
Right.
Because it just says that she's holding the shard to her arm. Yeah, she says she presses it to her elbow.
Mm-hmm.
She says she steals herself and sucks in one deep breath, and that's it.
Yeah.
I had to go back. I was like, wait, did she even fucking do it?
Right.
So it was interesting how nondescript that was.
Yeah. And what I think is the best part of this chapter is in the split second that I stared into Victoria's eyes, I thought I heard a familiar exasperated sigh.
Yes.
She has frustrated Edward
so many
to
times.
All get out. He's just like, oh. God,
not again.
And he knew she was gonna do this. Yeah. Like, he must have just been like waiting for this to happen and like crossing his fingers that she wouldn't, because he has been inquiring, like, why do you care so much about this third wife story?
Yeah,
like, what literally. The fuck is going on? Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, Bella's had this little sacrifice myself plot line going mm-hmm. on, mm-hmm. and he's just like, Jesus, Bella.
Yeah. It distracts Victoria for a second, which gives Edward an advantage. It all ends extremely quickly, so quickly that she says, like, it's over, and then backtracks and, like, tells us what happens, like, mm-hmm. as she kind of puts the pieces together, which involves, like, Victoria climbing up a tree, which is fun, Riley getting absolutely taken apart, Edward, like, taking Riley's head off,
mm-hmm.
also, I think, taking Victoria's head off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there's some, like, really, like, kind of horror-y stuff happening with, like, Riley's mm-hmm. disembodied, dismembered arm crawling across the ground by itself.
We know that vampires, if they're just ripped apart, can crawl back together.
Horrifying.
Which
yeah.
is so scary, and yeah. also why the Quileute leader keeps a bag yeah. of
the ashes
from the vampire that they burned years and years and years ago.
Yeah. They finish off Riley. This is so
it's so weird.
This was so interesting to me, the way that it is described the way that Edward kills her. His mouth brushed once across her neck like a caress. The squealing clamor coming from Seth's efforts covered every other noise, so there was no discernible sound to make the image one of violence. He could have been kissing her. I feel like that is such an interesting comparison compared to like what just happened between Jacob and Bella too.
Yeah, he basically, like, does he just like chomp her head off basically, like,
yeah,
like,
I think so,
cuts her head off with his mouth.
I think he uses his teeth to like slice her neck.
Crazy.
Yeah,
what
I love
approach.
It I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he takes her head off. But yeah, I just think it's crazy how non-violently that is described. Mm-hmm. And it's described as a kiss. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the kissing that happened between Bella and Jacob is described as violent. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah.
But that is the end of chapter 24.
Rip of Victoria.
Two dead vampires.
Heads will roll.
Take a little break from the violence.
To do
some weather, some news, and a little mini segment.
Well, today in Forks, it's 39 degrees, it's about to rain, the low is 30, but it doesn't look like it's gonna snow, because while it's raining, it's gonna all be above freezing, so it seems kind of gross.
Yeah. Follow up from what I shared last time about the hazing incident on the Forks High School football team, the update is that discipline has happened. We don't know what the discipline was, of course, but nine Forks High School football players have been disciplined. So it was like an incident.
That's a lot of people.
Nine
involved.
People against two people.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the news in Forks. You hate to see it. Time for our mini segment, and it's your turn.
You're right. Have you ever been in a physical fight?
I was wondering if that would be the question. No, I haven't.
Bummer.
Yeah. Ugh. Have you?
No, not in like a reciprocal fight. I have physically hurt someone.
Oh.
In middle school, someone in my math league called one of my best friends a fag.
Oh.
And he was gay. Yeah. He was gay.
Yeah.
And it was this kid who was, he was just like an awful, awful kid. Like just so, so mean to everyone.
Yeah.
And so I picked up his flute case because mm-hmm. he was in band mm-hmm. and I hit him over the head with it. And the math league teacher, like, just basically turned the other cheek and completely ignored it. He was my guy.
Yeah.
The math league coach, he was so great. And he, like, went up and was like, she just hit me. And he was like, what? No, I didn't see that.
Sorry.
But
wow, that's good.
It wasn't really a fight. But that's good. I was like, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No one who plays the flute has the right to call anybody the F-slur.
I know.
Yeah, I don't have anything comparable. I don't think of it. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else relatable. I feel like we've already covered the camping so
well. It's not a very relatable section.
I know. There's, like, nothing in here. It's like, have you ever danced?
Yes, I've done that.
It's like, have you ever laid down in a tent and wanted to die? Have you ever shredded a tent?
Also not relatable, no.
Okay, let me just work through some things in here. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever...
Really unrelatable chapter.
Have you ever...
I have one.
What?
Have you ever been okay with polyamory?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the good one.
I'm extremely okay with polyamory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever, apparently I'm coming up with a mini segment this time.
Right, yeah.
Have you ever tried to convince somebody of the true nature of their relationship with somebody? You know, like, have you been in a situation where, like, this person doesn't care about you or, like they really, like, here's what they are really trying to do?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more easy to do that once the breakup has already happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being at a party once and someone coming up to you and being like,
yeah,
I broke up with my boyfriend because of you.
When was that? Oh, no, they were like, I'm thinking of breaking up with my boyfriend. Yeah, and I was like, do it.
Yeah. And then they did. They did.
Yeah. I had like freshly broken up with a boyfriend. So mm-hmm. I was like very much on the pro breaking up with people.
Yeah, there were like a few months where
I feel like we caused a lot of breakups.
Yeah, we like really were like it's over, actually.
You have to. So yes, I would say that we specifically have done that.
Yeah, we have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. for a while, I feel like it was like I was trying to create relationships and you were trying to destroy them.
Yes.
Not the same ones, luckily.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would create them. Can you imagine if we were just like...
trying to, like, undo each other's work all the time. For no reason.
Yeah, we had a lot of influence. Like, we had too much.
We had too much power.
Yeah, there was just too much.
That was crazy. I don't really know how we got to that place.
I don't even know. I'm like, we're like, God, like.
That's just college.
Yeah, just the circumstances.
We so don't, weird. And maybe if we knew that many people now, it would be similar.
It might,
but we just
yeah.
don't have anybody to do that with.
You're
on
right.
an average.
You're so right. You're so right.
That's all.
I just feel like the exodus of our friends from, like, the area, too, has, like, yeah. made it feel, like, a little bit more out of grasp, like...
For sure.
I'm sure to have I friends. Have lots of opinions yeah. on people's relationships that live pretty far yeah. away if I knew more about the people that they were with.
Yes, yeah, we're not really up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like there has generally been a trend of people that we know...
Dating
like,
better people?
Yeah, being in better relationships. Influence. Yeah, we can... Yeah, let's take credit for that.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Chapter 25.
Here we go.
Mirror. Why is it called Mirror?
I don't know. Oh, is it because Bella's looking at Bree and is like, this is a look into my future?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Anyway.
Bella is traumatized.
For sure.
Again.
That's it. That's 15 this whole book.
Minutes after she was last traumatized, yeah. she's now
in
experiencing
fact, more trauma.
Another trauma.
Yeah. Someone do trauma first aid. Get this girl to play Tetris. Fun fact, there are
Tetris
studies.
Is, yeah.
If you play Tetris after a traumatic event, you are, like, significantly less likely to develop PTSD. So jot that down.
Cause... The thing is, with Bella, and also a lot of other people that experience trauma that's ongoing mm-hmm. and, like, keeps happening,
yes.
there's no opportunity to develop
yes.
PTSD because you are consistently, like, traumatized over and over again. Like, mm-hmm. the trauma's not post.
Little life hack.
Trauma's not post.
Life
just
hack.
Keep experiencing
just keep
trauma.
Forever. And you'll never get
It'll
PTSD.
It'll never happen.
Till the day you die.
Worst things can happen. Yeah. Even. But it's so funny. Yeah. People, like, it just... like, she just does not even have the opportunity to even think for 4 seconds. Like,
no.
she has not even... Like, probably her body has, her brain, everything has not even recovered from the last traumatic
Her ACE
thing.
Score is just...
Oh my God,
charts.
Through the roof. Well, she's
18 now, so... But her brain isn't fully developed.
That's so true.
So...
Yeah.
And it never will be.
Yeah.
And none of their brains are developed except for Esme.
Yeah, Esme's the only one. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Literally just Esme. Anyway. Yeah, and she will not get a break from it here. Maybe for 1 second, but...
She's... Frozen.
She is frozen. Edward was in motion again, swift and coolly businesslike. He dismembered the headless corpse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that Edward is just, like, taking care
business.
Yeah. Right now and, like, taking apart Victoria.
He doesn't have so much as a scratch. Like,
he's
not
totally
even a tear
fine.
In his clothes. He's fine. He had it totally under control.
Good fighter.
Genuinely, like, doing. Bella did not need to intervene.
No, she didn't, and he lets her know.
Yeah.
But once Bella realizes, she's kind of watching him do this from far away, and she realizes that he looks fine. She starts to relax a little bit, and Seth and Edward are gathering the chunks of Riley
mm-hmm.
and adding them to a pile, which they light on fire.
And then they, like, Seth laughs. He's, like,
yes.
laughing.
Wolf laughing.
And then Edward is
yes.
smiling,
mm-hmm.
and then Seth... grins, revealing the long row of dagger teeth, and bumped his nose against Edward's hand.
They fist bumped.
That's so cute.
It's so adorable.
It's precious.
Edward
just
says,
like,
nice teamwork.
Oops him with his nose.
Yeah. Big Edward drama moment. Mm-hmm. This is, like, more Twilight Midnight Sun era Edward fear of, oh, you must be so afraid of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, valid.
Yeah, yeah. I can see why he thinks that.
Yeah.
And he does continue to think that there's going... Like, he never really gets to the point where he feels secure in Bella not being afraid of him.
Yeah.
Like, even in Breaking Dawn, he's like, oh, right before we get married, I'm going to tell her all the horrible things that I did. And she's
yeah.
going to run
screaming. She's like,
all
right. Yeah.
And he never gets past this.
No. So he's quite convinced that she's going to be afraid of him after having watched him. I mean, really, in battle for the first time, she's never seen him kill anyone.
No.
That's for sure.
Has she seen anybody die before? James?
Well,
kind
she
of,
was
but
not
she was
really...
in and out of consciousness.
Yeah.
So this is new for her. Like,
yeah,
it is...
this is new.
Yeah, she's watched somebody die. Like,
yeah.
even though it's a vampire, like, that's significant.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, it's a wild thing to see happen.
Totally. I think she's just shocked that it happened. Mm-hmm. They were not expecting this to happen. Yeah. And she's shook up at having seen Victoria. And I think very, very, very relieved that Victoria is out of the picture.
She's free of her worst nightmare.
Yeah. Right now. Literally her nightmare. She describes Edward as approaching her the way a suspect might approach a policeman, showing that he wasn't armed. And he even says, Bella, can you drop the rock, please, carefully? Don't hurt yourself. As if, like, she is armed. Yeah. Why would dropping the rock
matter?
Hurt her or matter?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's because she's holding it in her broken hand.
Yeah.
So her I knuckle. Think maybe he wants her to like relax a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like that rock is a threat to her or him.
Let Bella, honey, let the rock go.
Drop it. Drop it.
Drop the rock. So he's saying things like, I won't hurt you. And she is like, I don't even know what you're fucking on about right now.
She's like, what the fuck?
She's like, why are you saying that?
It kind of snaps her out of it, though, to be confronted with something so ridiculous as being afraid of him.
Yes. That is honestly usually what happens.
Yeah. She's always traumatized. And then he says something so stupid that she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
and that allows her to break out of it and start sobbing. Mm-hmm. So she kind of like sobs for a bit and understands that she just needs a minute to kind of collect herself and let that happen. Seth is totally fine, though, it's revealed, despite Bella having been afraid. And also everybody else is fine. The vampires and the wolves, everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's just okay.
Yeah, everything's just fine.
So funny.
And Bella's furious that he thinks that she would be afraid of him. Mm-hmm. She has the moment that her friends and family are safe. Victoria is never going to come after her. Everything's going to be totally fine. And she's still confused. And Edward's like, hey, by the way, your little stunt with the rock.
Yeah.
Almost gave me a heart attack.
Yeah. He says that Seth was only feigning that he was hurt and that it actually caused Seth to be distracted. And so Edward had to at one point step in to help him. Mm-hmm. And now Seth is a little bit disgruntled that he can't claim a single-handed defeat.
Simply, I'll never tell anyone.
Literally.
They really didn't consider that she can't hear their thoughts, which, like, I know that they didn't plan this battle. Like, this was a total surprise. They wouldn't have been able to do this any differently.
No.
But of course Bella's going to think that Seth is hurt.
Of course she's going to fall for it. Yeah.
Of course she's going to fall for it.
So don't make her feel stupid.
Yeah.
And what she did also ended up being the thing that allowed Edward to just, like, end it right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, I think it was helpful.
Yeah, I do think it was helpful. Like, do I believe Edward could have done it without her? Yes.
Yeah.
But I do think that it ended it pretty decisively.
Yeah.
Like, it was the turning point.
Yeah.
And there would have been another one, I'm sure. But, like,
Bella's like, well, I obviously didn't know that. It's not easy being the only helpless person around. Just you wait till I'm a vampire. I'm not going to be sitting on the sidelines next time. And Edward's like, next time, do you anticipate another war soon?
Foreshadowing is a dramatic plot device.
Literally. She says, with my luck, who knows?
They know that something has happened to Jacob.
Yeah.
Edward and Seth find out that, like, that Jacob is hurt because he starts howling.
Big sensate moment of, like, they can feel each other's pain.
Kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
In the way that pain is in your mind, I guess, and like that experience being shared. I don't know. They definitely feel each other's thoughts, but I think they might also like feel each other's emotions.
Yeah,
I think
like that the is hinted at. Psychological effect. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Feeling is so both mental and physical. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to like be like it's only one, I guess.
Right. Like it's probably not the full sensation of the feeling that the other person is feeling.
Yeah.
But like,
enough that they're crying out in pain. And also Edward falls to his knees and is like overwhelmed by what is probably magnified by the pack experiencing it simultaneously. It's Jacob getting hurt, but they don't say that at this time.
Yeah, because they don't want to freak Bella out.
Yeah,
because she's just had the shock of her life times 20.
Yeah. And also they need to leave.
They've gotta go
because the Volturi are coming.
Like the pack needs to clear out.
Yes.
And Edward and Bella need to go meet the rest of the Cullens to greet the Volturi.
Yes. This was something that they knew about for at least a little bit of time, because they reiterate something that was said before when the battle was starting, which is about Alice needing to nail down the schedule for Sam and that something was going to be close. And so what that is like knowing that the Volturi are on their way and being able to see it because the pack are not going to be there.
Yeah.
They've known about that for, it's hard to say how long,
mm-hmm.
but at least since the beginning of the battle, maybe longer.
Bella had just had the thought when she realized it was Victoria. Like, she was like, oh, thank God it's not the Volturi.
Right.
Because, like, we could all survive Victoria. We can't all survive the Volturi. So this is her worst fear again.
Yes.
She's just got rid of her, like, her primary fear.
Yes.
And it is immediately now being replaced back with another one. Yeah.
Edward picks up Bella and runs.
And he is trying to reassure her they're not attacking. It's just they're coming up and cleaning up after the mess. Like, they're just doing their job. But they timed their arrival pretty carefully to miss the actual action.
Yeah.
They did not intend to come and help the Cullens. They came in order to, like, see the aftermath. And clean up. Which means that they don't really care if the newborns had hurt the Cullens.
Yeah. And they also were relying on the Cullens to do it for them.
Yeah.
It does say earlier this morning Alice saw it. Mm-hmm. So this happened this morning, which was not that long ago because it is morning.
And it's helpful for Edward to be there because he can read minds. So,
yes,
like, having all of the family present is good to be, like, presenting, like, a unified front so that he can figure out for sure what the Volturi's thoughts are and make sure that they're not, like, hiding anything from them. Like, they don't want to pull Jane away from the group because Jane is, like, fascinated with Bella and Edward.
Right.
And, like, they fear that, like, if they were not there, that Jane would break off and try to, like, go rogue.
Because
she doesn't really respect the authority of the other Volturi.
I mean, how is she not an immortal child? She's 12 years old.
She is. That's the thing. That's, like, the thing. She's an immortal child, and they let her get away with it because they have her under enough control.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like having a preteen.
Yeah.
You can reason with them and you can rationalize with them, and they are still going to be incredibly chaotic because they're preteens.
Yeah.
It's an immortal preteen.
Yeah, no immortal children that are 11 or under, but 12 is okay, apparently.
Yeah.
Come on. Everybody's a fucking teenager. They're also children.
Yeah.
Everyone is an immortal child.
One. Yeah.
Edward is an immortal child.
Right.
Hello. Ugh. Edward says one of the reasons why the Volturi needs to go is because the Volturi don't know about the wolves, and they're not going to recognize the scent.
Right.
Which, great that they should get out of there. Also implies that in Breaking Dawn, when they do present themselves to the Volturi, they are revealing their existence to the most dangerous vampires in the world, and no fight happens, so there is a continued threat.
Yes.
After that.
This is the scariest thing.
Yeah.
The Quileute could ever come up against is like vampires who they don't have a treaty with, who have even sometimes scarier gifts than the Cullens, like, hold authority. Like, they stand to have a lot to lose.
Totally. Yeah. And, like, the Cullens' presence in Forks ties the Volturi to that area in a way that's really dangerous for them,
which I think
hate
is
that
why it's so dissatisfying for, like, them to be existing in the status quo at the end of Breaking Dawn. Like, they act as if, and then we're getting so ahead of ourselves, but, like, they act as if, like, the Volturi being, like, at peace with Renesmee is good enough, and it's like, it's actually not good enough. Like, you're still living under this oppressive threat that could come against you for any reason. Like, and they look for reasons to target the Cullens.
Yeah. So Bella starts to put it together again that something had happened before they ran off down the mountain. And she's like, somebody's hurt and I need you to tell me who it is. And so what happened is that there was, like, one stray newborn that the wolves forgot to count. They didn't, like, count the number that they got, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then Leah found him and went in alone and it wasn't working, so Jacob stepped in and he got hurt. And when Bella hears that Jacob was injured, she passes out.
Yeah, completely.
She's like, that's the final straw. And then comes to about 5 minutes later, hearing the Cullens around her in the clearing.
And Carlisle says a really helpful thing, which is she's gonna come around when she's ready.
Yeah.
She's had too much to deal with today. Let her mind protect itself. This girl needed to pass out.
She's, like, kind of coming to. And Edward shares with her, Jacob's going to be totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
She opens her eyes. But he has, I don't know where it says it, but he has shattered all the bones on the right side of his body.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he heals extra, extra fast. So he's going to make a full recovery in, like, a few days.
And Carlisle already took a look at him and they're getting him back home. Carlisle's like, we're getting him back in human form so I can treat him. I've never been to veterinarian school, which is wild. And I'm also, like, kind of like, are you going to go now? Because, like, these are your closest allies.
You should do,
like,
that.
You should probably go.
Yeah, you should go to vet school. Honestly, like, the fact, shattering all the bone, like, what happened? How does he,
well, I feel
the newborn,
like,
got his arms around him.
He squeezed.
Yeah, but how did you get all the bones? All the bones, that's a large,
yeah,
on a wolf's body, a big wolf.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's a lot of bones. That's a lot of ground to cover.
Maybe he got his arms around him and, like, threw him into something or something.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't
know. But still, that's, like, this whole time Jake has been, like, a vampire can't hurt me.
Mm. Yeah.
If it was, like, slightly worse, then he would have been dead. Yeah. So, actually.
Humbling.
Knock it down a peg, yeah.
I'm curious, like, the Volturi are approaching, and, like, we have not talked about what, if anything, has been done to cover up what I assume is the open wound on Bella's arm.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. In the movie, he ties it up and bandages it for her.
But, like, there's no conversation
here. There's been no talk about
it. There's, like, hypothetically, like, blood maybe on her.
Yeah.
Even, like, we don't know how deep or how big this wound that she, like...
Did she not do it, though?
She might not have even done it.
Did she not do it?
There's no, like, discussion of the blood. Like, it just says, like, her gasp is what distracts Victoria into, like...
I think she didn't fucking do
it. I don't think she did it. Because, like, otherwise it's kind of, like... I mean, I don't think she even needed to do it to get their attention. Like, I think she gasped when she did it, and Victoria looked over and that... I mean,
it's just, like, strongly implied, but there's no talk of blood.
Right, because if there was blood, we would have a huge problem.
Yeah.
But, that being said...
And they would have bandaged it up,
Brie Tanner does really want to fucking kill Bella.
But nobody, like, but, like, but Jasper would have a hard time.
Yeah.
Jasper doesn't react.
Maybe they're just standing super far apart, but...
But none of the Volturi say anything. I just
Bella
feel like...
bleeding would be so bad for the Volturi.
They wouldn't... there's just no way that if she was bleeding right now that
it
they
wouldn't escalate, yeah.
Like, so I feel like maybe... Yeah, I feel like maybe she didn't even do it.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
So why is Edward mad at her?
Because she was thinking about it.
Because she, like, mimed about She's being like, about to cut herself?
Yeah. Bella.
What?
I don't know.
So weird.
Because it's, like, obviously the interpretation in the movie is that she actually cuts her arm.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like the argument could be made either way.
Yeah. So weird. Ambiguous blood.
We meet Bree.
Bree. Yeah. So Jasper is guarding this young newborn vampire, younger than Bella. She's like maybe 15 or something. And he's watching her really intently. Her eyes, shocking brilliant red, much brighter than Riley's, almost glowing. And they wield wildly out of control.
She's howling in anguish, too, because
she's thirsty.
Is so thirsty, and she wants to drink Bella's blood so bad.
Just give her a little taste. She deserves it. So Edward has, like, read the minds of everyone around and knows what's going on, so he says that this girl has surrendered, something that Carlisle has offered, and Jasper doesn't approve.
Yeah.
Stay out of it, Jasper.
It's not Jasper's call.
And, like, Jasper also, like, fucking snapped at Bella because of a paper cut. So, like,
well, and it's also
he's one
just
to
kind
talk.
Of like, Jasper, you were literally in her position.
Yeah. Like,
this
he
is
can't
the
empathize.
Beginning of your life. Yeah. Like, they did give you a second chance.
Yeah.
The Cullens are your second chance. This exactly parallels your story.
Yeah.
You were created to be part of an army.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with
He's still a military man.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
And even, so Carlisle goes over talking to Bree and is like, have you changed your mind, young one? We don't want to destroy you, but we will if you can't control yourself. I mean, I could see them wanting to destroy her if she comes for Bella in this moment.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, is it like vegetarianism or nothing? Like, vegetarianism or we're gonna kill you?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it kind of comes off
yeah,
as
you're right.
to me.
Like, yeah. It's our way or the highway.
Yeah, like,
you know?
You're either gonna be a vegetarian vampire or we're gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah, you can't go off and do your own thing.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I think that they know that they can't just release her.
No, they
either.
Need to do something.
Yeah.
But, like, is there no compromise? Like, is Carlisle really, like, you're either gonna drink animal blood or we're gonna end you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he just means... practice restraint in this moment or like you need to be able to start controlling yourself like right now. Mm-hmm. No one's ever, you know, given her any guidance. Mm-hmm. She's been alive as a vampire for like probably just a few days, right? So she barely even understands like her own existence, I'm sure. But yeah, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
She says, how can you stand it? And he says, you must stand it. You must exercise control. It is possible and it is the only thing that will save you now. This is so religious.
Mm-hmm.
The restraint. It's like, this is where the Edward level restraint comes from.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Carlisle, like, trained it into
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I found the chapter title.
Oh, okay.
So, Bella's looking at Bree.
Yeah.
And, like, stares at her. And is, like, chin-length dark hair frames her face, which is alabaster pale. It's hard to tell if her features were beautiful. twisted as they were by rage and thirst, the feral red eyes were dominant, hard to look away from. Mm. She glared at me viciously, shuddering and writhing every few seconds. I stared at her, mesmerized, wondering if I were looking into a mirror of my future.
Mm-hmm. It's clear now that the Volturi are starting to come because the Cullens sort of, they make a little formation.
You know, we know that everyone is there, but like the only person that we don't actually hear from at all or hear about at all is Rosalie.
Yeah, she's just standing there.
She's just there.
We have no idea what she's been doing this entire time.
Nope, nothing.
The Volturi, the four of them that come, they arrive in smoke, in mist. Yeah. How do they do that?
How do they do that?
Where is it coming from?
I don't know.
They just...
This is vampire... this is like Dracula vampirism stuff, because he can become mist and smoke.
A lot of vampire lore can.
Yeah, well, but like this is news to us. Like, can the Cullens do that?
No. Well, we've never heard of it.
We've never heard that they can.
I mean, there's a lot of different like smoky haziness going around, because there's also the smoke from the fire.
Yeah.
That's like purplish and thick. But then there's... Yeah, I don't know. They're traveling in this dark mist, and they're in their fucking cloaks. So we have Jane. Jane is kind of in charge.
Dimitri,
Felix. Mm-hmm. Is it just the three of them? I thought there were four.
It says that there are four, but I don't even know that we get the fourth ones.
Come all the way there and not even get named.
Name.
It's not Alec.
I don't see it anywhere on these.
That's so weird.
Pages. It's definitely not Caius or Arrow, because they're
no. It's none of the main guys
being home. So it's like the only people that are really called by name are Felix,
Dimitri and Jane. I think
Dimitri
doesn't even get mentioned. No, in this part.
We just know that he's there from before.
From before, yeah, he gets mentioned when they're on the mountain. Bella's really afraid of Felix and Dimitri. And Felix puts his hood back and winks and smiles at Bella. It's only been 3 months since Italy.
Yeah. Nothing, like, there's been very little time.
Yeah. The immediate concern is about Bree. Yeah.
Like, Jane immediately is like, it's irrelevant what you offered to her.
Yeah, that wasn't yours to offer.
They put it off for a second because Jane is like, Arrow hoped we would get far enough west to see you. Carlisle sends his regards and Carlisle sends his back. It's like, that is such ex-boyfriend behavior.
Yeah. It's interesting that she says it like that. Like, oh, Arrow hoped that we would get far enough west, as if they weren't coming out just to see them.
Yeah.
We were talking about how they were like, how the Volturi have timed this so that they're not there when the battle is actually occurring. But, you know, they don't know everything. Or no. At least it seems from the way that Jane is reacting that they had no idea that it was like 20 people, including Victoria and Riley. There was 18 newborns. She's surprised to hear that they are all unskilled.
It seems like she's surprised there's that many. And then also, like, she doesn't believe the Cullens necessarily. She confirms this number by torturing Bree.
Yes.
And asking her, were there 20 of you?
Yeah.
And Bree's like, I don't know. Like, and like asking, like, did Victoria actually create you? As if like she doesn't actually just believe what the Cullens are saying.
Yeah.
And Bree has limited information.
Bree doesn't know anything. Yeah. I think it's interesting because Jane is saying, like, you know, they left a wake of destruction in Seattle, and Arrow was hoping we would get far enough west to see you, and it kind of is coming across as if, like, they just happened to be coming now to be checking out the situation that they've been following for a few months, which I would believe, except for it's crazy coincidence that they show up on the same day as the battle, right? And I think the Cullens feel similarly. But it does seem like there's a bunch of stuff that they don't know. So cops not knowing anything and then feigning incompetence.
and also, like, showing up and, like, punishing the people that are, like, left at the scene. Like, Bree is like, Carlisle said that they wouldn't hurt me if I stopped fighting. And Jane again is like, well, that wasn't his gift to offer. Broken rules demand a consequence. And, like, this really begs the question, like, how do the Volturi communicate with vampires? Because new vampires don't get mailed a copy of the rules that they must follow. Like,
no.
Vampire society seems to depend upon your creator teaching you what you can and can't do and what you can and can't get away with.
That's
and
generally, like, the rule.
That totally leaves so many people in, like, these really horrible situations.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jasper was left vulnerable because Maria was doing stuff that the Volturi did not like. Mm-hmm. Like, and the same goes for Bree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bree is not even sure exactly how many of them there were, said a few of them got in a fight on the way, and said that she doesn't know who created her, like, can't confirm that it's Victoria because she couldn't see anything, and that Riley didn't want them to be able to think of her and that their thoughts weren't safe. The only thing that they were told is that they had to destroy the strange yellow eyes here, mm-hmm. so the Cullens, right? And he gave them Bella's scent and said that whoever got to her first could have her, which of course isn't true.
Right.
Because the Victoria wanted to do it all along.
Jane tries to torture Bella, just checking that it still doesn't work.
Just checking.
Which is so funny.
Yeah.
And Edward gets really mad, but he knows he can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And he does kind of confront them to prompt Jane to think what he wants to confirm by saying, like, you know, she's like, well, it's weird. We're not usually used to being rendered unnecessary. We're bummed we missed the fight. It would have been fun to watch, which they wouldn't have intervened, which is funny.
I just want to watch. Yeah. What if they got there earlier and they just...
Edward's like, yeah, you were so close. It's a shame you didn't arrive just half an hour earlier. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could have fulfilled your purpose. Mm-hmm. And... Edward just kind of nods when Jane responds, it's a pity how things turned out, like, because it has confirmed his suspicions that they don't give a fuck about the Cullens. Like, yeah. They are not going to have their backs. They care about punishment, but not about intervening in any, like, constructive way. Because they're cops.
And they're cops, and it would have been convenient for them if the Cullens did get their numbers reduced in any way, shape, or form, because they're threatened by their numbers and their security, so... They move to kill Bree, and Edward intervenes and says, we could explain the rules to her. She didn't seem unwilling to learn. She didn't know what she was doing, like, trying to reason with them. And Carlisle kind of backing him up and saying, we're prepared to take responsibility for her.
Yeah.
And
it's a big Jesus moment. Like, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Sure, yeah. We'll convert her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jane's like, no. We're not going to do that. We don't make exceptions. We don't give second chances. It's bad for our reputation. Which reminds me, Caius will be so interested to hear that you're still a human, Bella. And it's like, it's been 3 months. But
yeah.
Like, that's no time for a vampire.
Alice is like, look, the date is set.
Yeah.
Just relax, basically. And then Jane.
Yeah, this is great.
Looks at Carlisle and is like, it was nice to meet you, Carlisle. I thought Arrow was exaggerating. Well, until we meet again.
Exaggerating about what?
Exaggerating about what?
What did he say?
Arrow's walking around like, Carlisle's so hot.
It's
like,
the most beautiful man you've ever seen in your life.
You won't believe it. His family's amazing. I wish I was with them. Like, just
Jane's
so
like,
funny.
My dad is obsessed with this guy. I have to see for myself.
The rest of the chapter is Bree being killed.
Yeah, the Volturi disappearing into the mist again. Whatever that might be. And that's the end of the chapter.
Yep, that's it.
We're done with the plot. Now we just got, like 60 more pages of,
yeah.
Who knows? It's always fun when we get a little action. I'm just like, oh.
This was so much more enjoyable to read. Like, there was a little bit at the beginning where I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh,
just well, don't worry, we'll get right back so to it, better. I'm sure, because Jacob's injured.
You're
he's
right.
He's hurt, and we have to go to him.
Yeah, we've got to go.
We got to make sure that he's okay, and he's got to... say some shit. I'm sure he's gonna say some shit.
Well, that's something to worry about next time.
Yeah.
For now, that's all, folks. Listening to Gender Forking, a Twilight Saga podcast. All seasons are now streaming anywhere podcasts can be found.
To stay updated about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at genderforking. For more Twilight content from us, follow us at bowlingsherebellas.tumblr.com.
With questions, comments, and any other inquiries, please email us at bowlingsherebellas@gmail.com. If you like what you hear and want to support the upkeep and production of our podcast, visit patreon.com/genderforking.
The music you are hearing is from O. Lucifer.